Since you all are here this morning and you're all VIPs, I decided to preach my very best sermon I could possibly preach this morning to you. No, of course not. So what I'm going to do, if you haven't figured it out yet, is I'm going to sit down and let you guys preach to me. Today's passage, I studied it. I go, oh, Lord, what do you want me to say to Two Rivers Church? What are you saying? And all that happened was he was talking to me the whole time, saying, Rob, you need to be this. Rob, you need to be this. You need to be that. And over, that's just all I saw was, this is a challenge for Christian leaders. This is a challenge for people in ministry. And it would be not a disservice to preach it at you. But I just thought, you know what, why not? Let's try it. Let's let you guys preach to me. And not all of you, obviously, are going to stand up and give a sermon. But what we're going to do is I've designated seven leaders who are going to take sections of verses 1 through 12, and you guys are going to gather together in some small groups and take about 10 minutes. And from those verses that are your verses to look at, you guys are going to challenge me with the word this morning. It's a sermon to Rob, okay? So I've got seven leaders, and I want to make sure it's kind of evenly distributed amongst the guys. First, I've got Kramer is up here. So there's going to be a group of you guys, maybe, that would circle around. How many people are here? Any guesses? About 50, 60, maybe. I have seven groups, and so I'm thinking, let's say go for like 7-8 in each group. Let's let that be our goal to find. So group one is going to be here. You guys are going to be doing verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2. Where is Wayne Clausen? Wayne Clausen's way in the back right there. So a bunch of you guys are going to be around Wayne, you guys are going to look at verse 4. Where's Tony? Tony's right here. I'll let you stay there. And a group of you guys in front maybe can be with Tony. Group 4 is Stuart Wall. Where's Stuart? Stuart's way in the back. So some of you guys in the back. And then I see Ellis is here. I'm going to make him have Ellis and Mark move. Let's see. Next, I've got Ellis. Ellis, why don't you circle a group right back there? Maybe Matt and the four guards and Randy. Maybe you guys could join, and some of you guys way in the back. If Stuart's group's over there, maybe Ellis, you could have a group over there. And then group 6 is going to be Mark Goddard, and you're going to be verses 9 and 10. Could you maybe, since Tony's here, well, you guys, that should be fine right there where you're at. Charles, I might have you move to, you're the last group. Charles is going to be last group. Why don't you move back to like where Adam's at? Hi, Adam. And back to where the coffee pots are. Let's have a group meet over there, okay? So if you would go there right now, and Ellis, go where you're going to be. Would you guys kind of raise your hands, group leaders, raise your hands and let them see. I want the rest of you guys to circle out here. Oh, wait a minute, real quick. I gotta say the disclaimer first. Wait. Don't move. Just a second. You guys, hello. I want everyone to go into a group, but not, you don't have to talk. If you're like, we're going into small groups, I didn't expect that. Don't worry about it. You don't have to talk. You can just listen if you choose to. No one's going to ask you to say anything. Your group leaders will be the ones talking to me in a few minutes. Okay? So go ahead. Let's see if we can get some even groups. Let's try it. So let's start with group number one with verses 2 and 3. And Jeff Kramer, you are the representative of that group.
Well, Rob, the first thing that we saw out of these passages, and this was pretty amazing, actually, that it was so specific to what's going on, but it says that we you should be conscious about giving the church a longer break in between. It's amazing. The predictive quality of...
Half-hour break.
Rob, here's what these verses, we believe, are saying to you. Expect suffering, expect opposition. because they will come. But remain strong in the midst of those, because the Word of God provides power, and it gives you, it will give you the ability to not bend to the pressure of the opposition and the suffering that's going to come. Remember that God's word is truth, that you are on the right side when you proclaim his truth. So be bold in proclaiming that truth. And be careful to avoid the temptation to share half of the story or to try to paint it in such a way that you think might be a little more convincing, a little more persuasive. Share the whole truth, the whole word of God, and let him do the persuading and the convincing.
Well, this was a very interesting one to go through, Rob, and great application. I guess if we were preaching to you, say, we understand somewhat what an honor and privilege you feel to be preaching the word of God. And also what an awesome responsibility you sense at the same time. To be approved by God, I think, takes a truly humble person. And you exhibit that in your daily walk. And we love you for that. Do I have this thing? I guess I do. Okay. You, as well as all of us here, are ambassadors. And you know that you are equipping the saints, and we thank you for the job that you do in that regard. And God protects you, and he protects us. And that's one of the great benefits of being a believer and a part of God's family. We want to emulate your walk, Rob, in being a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. And we thank you for setting that example, because it's a great example for all of us to look at and to see. And you challenge us all to set up healthy boundaries in our life and pleasing God instead of pleasing man. And it's something that we need, because we struggle with it. As humans, we're needy, and we need to be loved on. And you do that as God's person who is called to shepherd us as your flock. And we thank God for that in you. You challenge us to change our lifestyles. And there's a great before and after in all the believers here, before we knew Christ and now that we do know Christ. And you encourage us in our walk. We like what you've said before many times. You want God to break your heart for the things that breaks his. And that's a great model for all of us to strive for. And I guess finally, put God first no matter what. And you do that. And we love you for it. That's our message.
Well, Rob, there's three main points that we would like to emphasize here with you. One is probably the last one, and that God is your witness and our witness to you, that all the things that you do, he knows your heart as well as the actions that we see, and that he is the witness on that which you do with us. And we encourage you to keep that perspective as you are ministering.
That's all?
No, that's the start of it. Yeah. But one of the things is we challenge you to continue to never flatter us. Why start now? You're so honest with us, and we appreciate that in your teaching. When you go through and you're teaching, you tell us the way it is. We know we're a congregation of people that are growing, that are struggling, that are striving, and you don't pretend like we're the perfect congregation and ignore the reality of what's going on. And in your teaching, you're very honest with that. So we encourage you not to flatter us. And I know even just on the one-on-one times we've had together, you're just very honest with that. And we appreciate that very much. And let me get down here. Then the next point is not to flatter us, but also to not function within a pretext of greed. And that's one of the things that we all shared, that we're so thankful that we don't see greed in your life. You've been willing to be here. You've gone years without an increase, some years in pay. When extra money's come in, we're talked about supporting other ministries and starting other churches or bringing on a youth person. And we just encourage you to continue in that path that you've already set and to not let greed become part of your life.
Yeah, Rob, if you were greedy, you would have to be one of the most frustrated people on the face of the planet, because we know what you make.
I tried to escalate in my heart.
Well, there was two things in our passage. Yeah, 6 and 7. One was you're not, Paul was not looking for praise from men. And the other was about being gentle among them, like a mother caring for their children. If you were looking for praise from men, would you take on this congregation as your flock? Or we'd think that God would appoint you to a flock like this, because who would really seek after praise from men by shepherding us? I just don't see that. So if you take that as an appointment from God to shepherd us, then the burden is to shepherd us like a mother caring for their children. And this is the conundrum that I think you face, is how much will you expect of us as a congregation? That you know you have to push your children, to push them out of their comfort zone. You want them to succeed. But how hard do you push? How hard can you push? Knowing that they are children of God, and that God is really the one who decides their growth and is involved in their growth, and you are just a shepherd. I don't have an answer for you, Rob. I know that the only way you can do it successfully is to do it as it comes in prayer and with the power that God gives you to do it and the wisdom he gives you. There is no recipe for being a good parent. It's done on reliance upon the Lord, and this is the Lord's body, so that's the way it should be.
So I think our group would start out by saying we'd like for you to continue in these things, because I see that the list that we came up with, you're already doing lots of these. And not only do we appreciate it, but we really hope that we can see these things continue. So the list that we had said, we hope you'll continue, and we thank you for really caring strongly about our well-being. And we want you to show your life with us, how you are as a real person, not just our pastor, but as a real person. We appreciate how you interact with us in a friendship way, not just preaching at us, connect with us. Ben mentioned the fellowship, like ideas like the Super Bowl party, and of course he wanted to add the Oregon party. Anything like that to connect with us. Not on tape. Constantly bringing us back to God's word when we need to be brought there. Being available when we need a spiritual kick. And then last, do you really love us enough? We want you to love us enough that you'll stick to the word even when our culture is going against it.
All right, well, everything builds on everything everybody else already said, so I can sit down now. I think Jeff started this theme. We need you to understand that you will be misunderstood, and the enemy will tell lies about you or twist the truth. Paul here was defending his ministry, and he did that by asking the people to to remember. He didn't just tell them things. He said, remember how I behaved. So for this part, I challenge the congregation. Remember how Rob has already behaved. He's been an example of hard work. I'm here on Sunday mornings. He's here earlier. He's here setting up, practicing, doing the band. He does the alpha. He does small groups. He sets an example of labor and hard work. This passage doesn't mean he needs to go out and learn how to sew tents. Okay? Paul says that elsewhere, that the worker is worthy of his wages, that he deserves to be support. And the idea of supporting him is to free him to minister in the way that God has called him to minister. We're setting him free, and he shouldn't have to worry about where his stuff is coming from. So continue to set the example that you've already started to set. Continue to proclaim God's word, and don't let us be idle either. This is a preliminary argument for what Paul says later, and they had a problem with idleness in the church. And he's saying, I'm setting an example. I've already set the example. You guys got to follow my example. I work hard, you work hard. So a second challenge to us as the church. And finally, I guess we'll summarize, follow Jesus, continue to follow Jesus, so we can follow you.
I guess that, you know, you need to lead us as you led your children as they were growing up, and, you know, to minister and to teach and to comfort and encourage. And as God calls you, you know, into his kingdom to do, you know, in you we see your growth, and we're watching your steps of faith, you know, beyond your comfort zone. Oh, sorry. I didn't think I needed this, but anyway. You know, because you are moving towards your potential, and we believe in you, and we are proud of you. You know, you challenge people to cross the line of faith or to press on in faith, and you urge people to make a decision once they have been exhorted and encouraged, that they grow and they continue to grow, and they just don't become stagnated. That, you know, fathers focus on the children's success, and fathers push the children hard because they know we live in a world where failure is easy and success is difficult. And you are always, you know, pushing that or telling us, you know, how difficult it is out in the world and how we must stay strong in our faith, in the Word, on a daily basis. And that, I think, that you do a very good job of letting everybody know that we need to do that. You are pushing for a church that is obeying God. And that really, I think, is you know, one of your main focuses, is that no matter what we do, we must be following God's word. Everything else out there really doesn't matter. And I think that you do that very well in a humbling way of letting us know. I remember years and years and years ago when I first started coming to this church that I was shocked that you stood up there and told everybody that you were a sinner. Because I had never, ever heard a priest, a pastor, anybody that was a leader in faith say that to anybody. And to me, that just kind of brought it, you know, I guess down to a level that I could understand. That it didn't put you up on a pedestal. Sorry. But, you know, so that just meant a lot to me. And I still see that, you know, many years later, that you are still that humble person that is, you know, just trying to lead everybody so that, I guess, to put it, you know, so that when you get to heaven, you're going to see all of us there. I think that, you know, that that's, you know, a real biggie. And that you model to us through your words and your actions, and you show how to live our lives in a way that God would consider worthy. And for that, I thank you.
Wow, you guys were way, way too nice on me, and I appreciate that very much. But I am challenged. I am definitely challenged by the Lord. And I want to just close by what has already happened here, is there's a message for you, each individual here. There's something God wants to say to you about your role in all this. And if nothing else, we see here at the end of verse 12 saying we need to live our lives in a way that God would consider worthy. We all do. And I appreciate what someone just reminded us of, is that even if no one's watching, God is. And boy, that's conviction for me as well. And I need to always be reminded of that, that God would consider us worthy. He called us. He called us to share in his kingdom and glory. And I want to throw that same challenge out to you as you did to me, that we live our lives the way we're supposed to. And we never claim perfection. We never claim that we've arrived, but we will do our best to live as a vessel of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can use to use us and to change us. And I do challenge you guys to be in the Word and to let the Bible be your everything, your guide, is because you will get to know God if that happens. So thank you so much, everybody, for that. Pretty amazing challenge here. Did you notice how Paul called himself both a mom and a dad? And but saying he was also gentle, almost like a child, wild. Paul was an interesting guy, and I have no idea what that means for me to be your mom and your dad, but I want you to know, if nothing else from this, is I really do count it a great privilege to be here. Someone was saying, I think it was Stuart was saying, why I would choose to do this here, and that no one's jealous of this position. And it's interesting, and maybe Stephen can even attest to this. In some of the pastor meetings I get to go to, there actually are pastors that are very jealous of me. They wish they could be in this kind of setting rather than their kind of stuffy, mask-wearing congregations that act like everything's great and fine, but there's no real growth or real change. I get to see change daily, and also a lot of disappointments, but a lot of victories, and it is a true joy. So I am very honored, truly privileged to be your pastor and to share that and to spread it and let you guys lead the way. And we will be a congregation that people will want to be like, because God is leading us. And we are doing what he asks us to do. So blessings on you all. Can I pray for us as we close? Thank you for the challenge, Lord. Man, thank you so much. And Lord, I recommit my life to you. Help me not to be lazy. Help me not to think of money so much. Help me not to try to look for a easy way out of a hard message. Help me to be true to the word. Help me to be that vessel, that clay jar that is full of the Holy Spirit that can be used by you. And so I pray that I would model that, and that not only in front of people, but in behind closed doors, I would model that as well, because you are watching me, Lord. And help us all to be that congregation that is like the Thessalonians, that is approved and loved by you, that we would consider our lives in a way that God would consider worthy. I don't want to be a people pleaser, Lord. I want to please you. Help us all to live that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Go be the church this week. Do it. Bye.